that Jesus came into this world. I pray that as we come into this time of year, God, that we would not forget that. With all of the busyness and just with all the stuff, that we would not lose sight of what this means, that you came to us because you love us. Thank you, God, for your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat. On Christmas Eve, we always talk about the Christmas story. And in the Gospels, the writers each add some additional detail to the story to kind of flesh out what happened when Jesus came to this earth. So Luke talks about the angel appearing to Mary. Matthew talks about the angel appearing to Joseph. Luke tells us about the shepherds. Matthew tells us about the wise men. Here's what John says about the birth of Christ. This is John telling us the Christmas story. John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." So not a whole lot of detail there, right? There's not a whole lot of information he adds to what we already know about the Christmas story. But what he says here is really important. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's important because lights are a big part of Christmas, aren't they? When it comes to Christmas time, we put up Christmas lights. Some people, like Steve in this video, put up a lot of lights around the house, right? Some people do a lot. Some people do a little bit. But everybody does something, right? Whether it's lights outside of the house or lights around the tree. Maybe you drive through some of the neighborhoods and look at the lights. Or maybe you pay money to go someplace where they go over and above, like out at the Star Barn or Hershey, and just see these amazing displays of lights. Lights are an important part of Christmas. And that matters because those lights represent something. Hi. Oh, I thought you were waving to me. They represent something, right? They add life, they add joy, they add excitement, they look nice, but there's more to it than that. Lights are about more than decoration. They mean something really important. And that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes. But first, I want to tell you a story. When I was in college, my buddy Warren and I, we used to go hiking all the time. We'd go out camping in the woods fairly often. And this is in Georgia, in the woods of North Georgia. And this one time, we went to the woods, and it was just starting to get dark. And we parked at this trailhead, hiked back about a half hour, and found a nice spot. We set up our tents, and all of a sudden, I realized I had forgotten something back in the car. So I said, "Well, I need to go get that, and then I'll be back." So I set off, and now it's dark out. Like, the sun is down, and it's completely dark. And about 10 minutes into my walk back to the car, my flashlight died. And it is pitch black. Like, if you've ever been in the woods in the middle of the night, it is pitch black, right? There's no light coming from anywhere. So I could see, like, a couple inches in front of me, and that was it. So I couldn't call anyone because I didn't have my cell phone with me. In fact, I wouldn't have a cell phone with me for about another 15 or 20 years because this is back in the 80s. So back then, a phone was like something that was bolted to the wall. And the only mobile phone was if you have a 10-foot, you know, one of those curly extension cords, right? So there was nobody I could call. There was nothing I could do. So I figured, okay, I think I'm heading in the right direction. I remember we walked over two hills before we got to our camping site. So I figured if I get across those two hills, I'll get back to where we parked and I'll be safe. So I'm walking along and I go up and down a hill. I go up and down a second hill. And I go up and down a third hill. And all of a sudden I realize this is not good. I'm lost in the middle of the woods with no flashlight. And now all of a sudden I'm starting to hear things, right? Like the forest starts to come alive and I'm hearing all these creatures all around me. And obviously they're massive creatures with giant fangs and they all want to have me for supper. So I'm terrified and I'm lost in the middle of the woods. So I do the only thing I know to do. I start yelling for help, right? Just hoping maybe there's somebody that can hear me if I yell loud enough. There was nobody that could hear me. It was just not going to happen. So after about 10 minutes of this, probably felt like 5 hours, but it was about 10 minutes, all of a sudden over here about 100 yards away, I see a pair of headlights. And I realize, oh, that's the parking area right over there. And if it wasn't for a car pulling into that parking area right then, I wouldn't have had any idea that I was that close to the parking area. So when I saw those lights meant something to me, right? Those lights meant hope. Because as soon as I saw those lights, I knew exactly where I was, and I knew that I would be safe. Sometimes in our lives, we go through dark times. We go through times where the darkness is closing in on us, and we feel like we're surrounded by things that are coming against us, that are going to attack us. We have no idea where we are, what direction to go. We feel absolutely lost. And this year has been that for a lot of people. For some of you, it's the loss of a job or income. For many people, it's the loss of a friend or a family member. For one family in our church, it was the loss of a house. For all of us, there's that uncertainty of what the future might hold. And because of that, we usually look forward to New Year, right? New Year is kind of a huge celebration. It's that time of year when we wash off the past year and we look forward with anticipation to the next year. And we say, what is the next year going to hold? And we kind of celebrate new beginnings. But to be honest, just in all the conversations I've had with people, I don't see much of that this year. I don't see a whole lot of looking forward to the next year. And I think there's a reason for that. If you can remember 2019, New Year's Eve, we were saying, wow, 2020 is going to be a great year. Can't wait to see what 2020 holds, right? 2020 didn't work out so well for us, did it? It was a bad year. And so we came to the end of 2020 a year ago, and we're looking forward to 2021, and we're saying, wow, it's got to get better. Things have to turn around. It's going to be a better year. Not so much, right? 2021 was another really bad year. And so now people are looking at 2022 and saying, okay, what's next? Like there's no anticipation of what's the good thing that's going to happen in 2022. And a lot of people, because of this, have lost something incredibly valuable. They've lost hope. So I want to talk about hope tonight. Let me begin by defining hope. Hope is not just optimism or wishful thinking. It's more than that. It's more than just this idea of, I hope I get what I asked for Christmas, right? There's more to it than that. It's deeper than that. The word hope means this. It's a confident expectation of what is coming. Hope is the anticipation that something much better is on the horizon. And the great thing about hope is this. It doesn't deny the existence of pain right now, but it does recognize that pain is temporary. And something much better is on the way. There's a good example of this in Isaiah chapter 8. At the end of that chapter, verses 21 and 22, it says this about a group of people. It says, they will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. Wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. That doesn't sound very hopeful, does it? It says that they will be surrounded by things, like everywhere they look, in every direction they turn, they're going to see despair and darkness and anguish. There's nothing for them to look forward to. There's no hope for them whatsoever. It's really, really bad. And some of you, that is exactly where you are right now. But the message of hope is this. Chapter 8 is not the end of the story. Chapter 9 offers hope. In fact, the very next verse, chapter 9, verse 1, says this, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Some of you need to hear that tonight. That time of darkness and despair, that anguish, the pain, the tragedy, the sadness, whatever you're going through right now, will not go on forever. And verse 2 says this, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Isaiah gives us the promise that there is something yet to come. That there is a day coming when that darkness and that despair will come to an end. A day when the light will break through the darkness and the darkness will be over. When will that happen? Well, Isaiah says here, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. In Matthew 4:16, when Jesus arrives in Galilee, Matthew says this, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And he goes on to say, for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He is that light. He is the hope. And Isaiah and Matthew both talk about people living in darkness, and they both say the light came into that darkness. And at Christmas, we celebrate Jesus coming into the world. And the world Jesus stepped into was filled with darkness. Israel was under Roman occupation at the time. They were not a free nation. Slavery was common. Women were oppressed. Poverty was rampant. There was no hope coming from the government at all. What about financial hope? Well, if you lost your job, got sick or disabled, there was no unemployment insurance. No stimulus checks, no workman's comp, no paid time off, no disability support, none of that. There was no hope financially. What about the legal system? Well, if you broke the law, or if you were just accused of breaking the law, there was no such thing as innocent until proven guilty. Punishment was swift and punishment was brutal. There was no hope in the justice system. What about religion? People often turn to religion to find hope. Well, the religious leaders in that day, they were oppressive and judgmental hypocrites. Adding new laws and demanding people follow rules and regulations they themselves were not willing to follow. There was no hope in religion. And that is what the world looked like when Jesus came. It was dark and it was hopeless. And Jesus willingly stepped into that world. And think about what he did. He willingly left heaven behind, a place where the streets are literally paved with gold, and came here to be born in a feed trough. He left behind a place where there's no pain, no sickness, no hunger, no loneliness, and came here knowing he would be tired and hungry and lonely. He left behind a place where he was worshipped and adored by countless angels and came here knowing he would be opposed and rejected and crucified. Knowing that this world was filled with darkness, Jesus left heaven behind and came here and stepped into our darkness. And all throughout his ministry, he showed us what hope looks like. To people who were oppressed by this judgmental and harsh religious system, Jesus spoke of freedom, and he taught us that God is a loving father. To those who were sick and in pain, he healed their sicknesses and demonstrated what the presence of God's kingdom looks like. To those who felt shame and regret because of things they had done in their past, Jesus showed them grace and forgiveness and a second chance. So why do we put up lights at Christmas? Because Jesus, the light of the world, stepped into our darkness and drove that darkness away. And so John writes these words, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Jesus came into that world to offer us hope. What is that hope? No matter what you're going through right now, there's something much better on the horizon. Sickness does not have the final say in your life. There's something much better yet to come. Addiction does not have the final say in your life. There's something much better that is to come. Heartbreak and pain and sorrow do not have the final say in your life. There's something much better that is coming. Grief, loss, even death itself will not have the final say in your life. There's something much better that is coming. And so John says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. What does that mean? That means that evil will not win. That's right. That sickness and poverty and injustice and addiction, whatever is robbing you of the joy of your life right now, will not last and it will not win. That no matter how bad things look right now, no matter what you're facing and how overwhelming it seems right now, darkness will not last. There's a day coming when the light will shine and the darkness will be gone forever. Yes. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus stepped into a world that was filled with darkness and hopelessness. And he shined the light and he brought hope. And in the same way, he comes to you and to me in our world. He meets us in that darkness, in that hopelessness, and offers us light and hope. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never extinguish it. That means your pain will not last forever, but you will, and music will play, apparently. I'll just wait. Sound guys, I tell you. Actually, let's just pause here because I should have said this in the first service, but Dwight and Matt, did they not do an awesome job with the sound tonight? Really appreciate it. And in the first service on that first song, when the bass kicked in from these two massive subwoofers here, you should have seen the look on Dwight's face. He was just like in awe. So, very good stuff. But that promise that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness will never extinguish it, here's what that tells us. Your pain is not going to last forever, but you will. Because there's a day coming when your pain will come to an end permanently. But you'll live on forever. And God invites you to live with him for eternity in a place where there is no pain. That hope is available because Jesus came. And so the message of Christmas is this. We might be in chapter 8 right now when there's darkness and despair all around us, but chapter 9 is coming when the light will shine in the darkness. And so when you see candles, when you see those lights on houses, when you see the lights on your Christmas tree, remember why they're there. There's a reason it sparks something in your heart when you see those lights, because those lights represent hope. They point to Jesus, our Savior, the light of the world. And if you're lost right now, if you feel like you're in the middle of the woods and it's dark all around you and you see no way of escape, you have no idea what's coming after you, and you don't know where to go or where to turn, the good news is Jesus is the light that you desperately need. So you're not here tonight by accident, whether you're watching online or here in this building. You're not here by accident. You're here by appointment. You're here because God wanted you here, because he wanted you to know he's been pursuing you your whole life. And he offers you an amazing gift, hope. The promise that a better day is coming. The assurance that one day your pain will be over because it is temporary. And besides that, he offers new life and forgiveness and a brand new start. And if you never have received that gift, you can receive it right now. You can just say something to him like this. God, I just want to acknowledge to you that I need you. I can't fix it myself. I can't save myself. I need you. Jesus, I thank you that you came to this world to be my Savior. You came to this world to sacrifice yourself on my behalf so that I could have forgiveness and hope and new life. And right here, right now, Jesus, I receive that gift. And I thank you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.